Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners, cynicism, or conceit is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. But ring the bells that still ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. There are some characters in Scripture for whom we have been unkind and overly judgmental of. We stick to an interpretation of Scripture which was first handed down to us in Sunday school when we were just children. And ever since that Sunday school lesson, whenever we read or hear that story, we can get lazy. Instead of developing a deeper understanding, we just open the Documents tab, locate Children's Sunday School folder, pull up the file, and without editing or updating, this is what the story means. Thomas, so often called Doubting Thomas, clearly lacked faith. However, how strong can one's faith be if it is never doubted, especially given mystery of it all? Judas, he sold out Jesus for 30 denarii. He is the worst in Scripture. However, what was he going through? Which Judas desperately needed money. Was it for him? Was it for a loved one? What was his mental health like? What was going on down where the spirit meets the bone, knowing that shortly thereafter he took his own life? Some characters we have filed away as right or wrong, faithful or faithless, overlooking the complexity of living we all know so well. Martha. Martha, Martha, Martha. Often Martha, and you might have feelings about this, often Martha is a busybody, a workaholic. She is the person who is in constant motion and needing to feel productive every second of the day. If she takes time for herself, then this creeping feeling of guilt begins to set in. She is busy with chores, taking care of guests, overwhelmed by it all. She looks at Mary, who is just sitting and listening to Jesus. Dry a dish, Mary. Straighten up the shoes, Mary. Do something to help, Mary. And then Jesus says the words that can really hurt if you are a child with siblings. Martha, you need to be more like your sister. Martha is often the example of what not to aspire. And as a result, this passage can bring a sense of shame to those of us who are go-getters. Perhaps my busyness is upsetting God. Maybe I should just take a step from running around and just lock myself in a room, and perhaps I should just pray all day long. However, it is curious that this passage that Ben pointed out follows the Good Samaritan, in which we talked about last week, which is all about serving someone in need, and ends with this phrase, go and do likewise. To be the good neighbor. The Samaritan is, don't just stand there, do something about this. How confusing that the very next story, Mary and Martha, could have the opposite message. Don't just do something, sit down for a little bit. So which one is it? Is it doing or is it being? Is it prayer or is it mission? Is it acts of worship or actions? Traditionally, we link this to faith and works. Which is more important? Let's begin with Martha and edit that Sunday school lesson that was passed down to us. Had Martha not been home, Jesus may have just kept on walking. Now, as they went on away, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him in. It was earlier in chapter 10 when Jesus was preparing the 70 disciples to go out to various towns, carrying no money, no bag, no belongings, and they were to wander into a town searching for a person of peace to welcome them. And if they found them, then that was the person whom God was leading them to find rest for the night. Mark is a person of peace. A person who welcomes and affirms Jesus. And she not only welcomes Jesus, but she welcomes this entourage that often accompanied Jesus from village to village. For this group, it meant getting food ready. It meant having water to drink. It meant asking, how are your sore feet doing? And if you need anything, how can I help? This is more than just nice behavior. In fact, we get a little clue. The Greek word translated tasks, which is diokonia, really is used and derived from our word, or we derive our word from deacon, meaning service or ministry. And so when the early church wrote down this story, when Luke's community told this story, they saw Martha as a leader in the church, a deacon, a beacon of service in line with Christ. Even though society at this time enforced that women subservient, she is an equal partner in God's work. She is doing good ministry. She is the good Samaritan doing likewise. And so now I invite us to turn from Martha and notice Mary, who is sitting at the feet of Jesus. In the commotion, she has positioned herself in a place and in proximity to listen to the word of God. Like that of Martha, Mary too is bending gender norms of her day. Men were the ones who were students who had a place at the feet of teachers. However, Mary sits and listens to Jesus, and Jesus welcomes it. She knows her God loves her and values her in ways her society is failing in the moment to do that. At Jesus' feet, she is a disciple, resting in the word of God, drawing closer to God. It may appear to her sister that she is doing nothing, but sitting silently with the word of God is important ministry too. Worship and study bring us closer to God, to the God we seek, not just knowing God, but experiencing God on a different level. It's why you all decided to come to church this morning. And so within the story is the dichotomy between faith and works, especially within the church. And we often hear that in the form of complaints. The church needs to be doing more, needs to be in the community, needs to sit with, eat with, be in solidarity with the least, working for justice. And then, no. The church needs to be a house of prayer and worship, reading scripture and growing in fellowship. However, I wonder if Jesus is really picking a side here, prayer over action or worship over acts of justice. In fact, Jesus' own life models a need to find a balance between the two, as if one relies on the other. Could it be? It doesn't matter what we do. Stay with me. It doesn't matter what we do, but it matters how we do it. It matters from which center it comes from. After all, Jesus teaches, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who abide in me will bear much fruit. As long as we are connected to the vine, we bear fruit. So both sisters are doing God's work. Martha is welcoming and feeding travelers until she becomes drawn away from that purpose of what she's doing and why she is doing it. She is growing worried and anxious, and Scripture says distracted. We could picture a gymnast on a balance beam who is taught to maintain a focused gaze on the end of the balance beam. This focused gaze is important because it keeps them well balanced steady, allowing them to do difficult skills with absolute precision. And I know we've all watched the Olympics in the past couple years. Martha's gaze is beginning to wander here from the word of God to Mary. For Martha, she is forgetting why she serves, why she welcomes, and how God is using her and calling her. We all go through this. We can all relate to Martha. We have all struggled to stay centered and balanced, discerning God's call for our life. Those who are caretakers or working through health concerns, those who are entering a new phase of life, beginning careers, or newly retired. Staying centered on God and what to come next is a challenge. So I believe the good message is that God is present. The word of God is being spoken to us here in worship, on walks in the wood, even sitting in traffic, taking the dog out for a walk. But are we tuned into it, or are we becoming distracted? How are we trying to stay rooted in God? How are we seeking God? Are we listening to the rain on the roof and thinking, God, thank you for this rain? Because we know that blooms are going to be a result of it. Or are we just getting upset? Are we pointing fingers at others? Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things, but few things are needed. Indeed, only one. This week I had a conversation with a fellow clergy member about everything going on in the news. We can all take a collective breath if you'd like to. There was one person in our group conversation who was very vulnerable and honest about feeling bombarded with headline after headline. They felt deeply for friends, family, church members that have been hurt most by recent policy proposals. Now, with talk about the uncertainty of Social Security, they were worried for themselves how they were going to get by. Rage, anger, confusion, and hurt. They ask this question: what does God want me to do in this mess? Have you ever asked that question? What does God want me to do in this mess? And with tears in their eyes, they were afraid that they would do nothing. But at the same time, they were afraid of doing something. They knew that they did not want to sit back and watch the world unfold, but at the same time, they weren't necessarily the ones who are going to go down to the Capitol or write an op-ed in the Columbus Dispatch. And that's when someone else in our group, knowing this person well, which included knowing their love for quilting and crocheting, introduced us all to a new world word called craftivism. Combining crafts and activism, some are trying to move the needle, in more ways than one, by using their crafting skills to shape the world God desires, perfecting love and equality for all people. And this sparked an idea in them about a quilting project that could combine the stories of immigrants in their community, their country of origin, and how they're woven into the fabric of the community. I admired my colleague because in this polarizing time, they found themselves teetering. But they asked the question, God, what do you want me to do? How are you leading me? Not what we do, but how we do it. You may recall Jesus' words, not my will, but yours. And so I'm going to end the message this morning with a prayer. And this is a prayer credited to Thomas Merton, but it's not just Merton's prayer, it's all of our prayers. And so I invite us now just to be in that posture of prayer and connection with our God. Let us pray. My Lord God, I have no idea where I am going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end. Nor do I really know myself. And the fact that I think that I'm following your will does not mean that I am actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you. And I hope that desire in all that I am doing, I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it. Therefore, I will trust in you always. Though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death, I will not put fear in front of me, for you are with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone. Amen.